know it's jazz. The place is roaring. All beautiful girls in there. One mad brunette at the bar drunk with her boys. One strange chick I remember from somewhere wearing a simple skirt with pockets. Her hands in there. Short haircut, slouched, talking to everybody. Up and down the stairs they come. The bartenders of the regular band of Jack and the heavenly drummer who looks up in the sky with blue eyes, with a beard. He's wailing beer caps of bottles and jamming at the cash register and everything is going to the beat. It's the beat generation. It's Bayat. It's the beat to keep. It's the beat of the heart. It's being beat and down in the world and like old time lowdown. And like in ancient civilizations, the slave boatmen rowing galleys to a beat and servants spinning pottery to a beat.
How's it going, everybody? This is Marcus here, the Good Eat Read Your Radio Show. It's May the 18th, 2010. Now, there's a lot of exciting news happening in the e-reader and Slate tablet PC world, and we're going to preview some of the news that's happened today and the news that's happened in the last few days, just to bring everybody up to speed on what's transpiring in the e-reader and Slate PC world. So, the first news that we want to get into is that Spring Design Alex has released new firmware for their Spring Design Alex e-reader. Now, the new firmware basically disables the dictionary function, mainly because there wasn't very much room on the current flash partition of it in order to have the dictionary display properly. So what they did is disable it, but they have said for the next update that they'll be using a new version of the Google Android operating system. So they'll be upgrading to 1.6 and they will enable dictionary support. But with the current upgrade, what this really does is fixed a few system hang-up bugs and enabled to transfer DRM books from Adobe Digital Editions from the PC to the Alex. They've also enabled font size for PDF books and they've revised the user manual to use an EPUB format, which is obviously better than PDFs for reading. As you guys may or may not know, PDFs are more so designed for PCs, netbooks, laptops. They're not really optimized for 6-inch e-readers. So you probably have noticed if you have a 6-inch e-reader and if you've tried to look at a PDF, often that there's a lot of formatting errors. There's a lot of kind of font size issues and things like that. PDFs resolute well if you have a 9-inch e-reader, but EPUB is more or less the new format that a lot of the newer e-readers and Slate PCs are running with. So them switching this to the EPUB format is definitely a good thing. Now, we do have some other news about Acer. They have made, or they're going to be making, a number of announcements at the Computex trade show in Taiwan, happening from June 1st to June 5th. Now, they said that they're going to be working with a number of industry partners, from Quanta Computer to Compal Electronics to Wistron. Now, they're going to be doing everything from new smartphones to an e-reader to some netbooks to some smart monitors and an Acer Slate PC. Now, the new Acer Slate PC is thought to be running Google Android. It will be using the ARM or ARM line of processors. Now, it's a smart choice for them to go with an ARM processor than to go with, say, the Tegra 2 processor that a lot of competitive Slate PCs are running right now. And there's some rampant speculation in the industry that the NVIDIA Tegra 2 processors, there's a lot of problems with them. A lot of the Slate PCs that are running those processors are all delaying them, most notably the Notion Ink Atom. Now, there's a lot of speculation that there are problems with the Tegra 2 chips and running Flash, as well as creating a pretty big battery drainer. So they're sort of trying to revise and trying to do some hardware adjustments in order to strain the battery less and to not have the Flash and Adobe conflicts that they have now. So again, Acer is going to be going with the ARM processor on their Slate. There really isn't a whole lot of other news on what this Slate will have, but of course this will all be announced really early next month. We'll be reporting on this and give you guys full specs, as well as Acer today squashed rumors that it'll be showcasing a Google Chrome smartphone. There was a lot of speculation in the industry that they would be debuting a phone that had Google Chrome. Now, Acer will be debuting a new phone at this, but they have said that it's not going to be using the Google Chrome OS. They called the Google Chrome OS an exciting product announcement, but it said it had no short-term plans for such a product. Now, who knows whether their new smartphone will have, say, the Android operating system. As you know, a lot of smartphones these days, from the Droid to the Nexus One to the HTC Evo, they're all going to be running Android. Android has a tremendously large development community, so there's a lot of apps to it. And Android right now pretty well is the second most widely used operating system in the US. So it would make sense that Acer would go with the Android route, because a lot of the really bigger high-profile phones, as well as phones that have a pretty stable operating system, and just the popularity of Android, it would probably make sense that Acer would go with the Android operating system on its smartphone rather than an untested Google Chrome operating system or any other types of formats. Now, there also is some news regarding the new Samsung SNE60 ebook reader. They will be debuting this next month in Europe and later on this summer for the US. Now, it's an interesting looking e-reader. It kind of slides out like those slider type of cell phones, where it's mainly a touch screen and then you could slide it out and then you have more or less some buttons, a navigation track bar and things like that. So the unit itself looks really slick. Now, it's going to have about around 800 by 600 for its pixel resolution. It'd basically be about 6 inches. It'll have 8 levels of grayscale. And it will be using a new kind of e-ink technology that renders complete paper-like display. And it's saying that it's probably going to be the most exciting new piece of technology that uses different sort of e-reading and e-ink now. It will be coming with an electromagnetic resonance, or EMR stylus pen, that'll be coming with the e-reader. So you don't have to just touch it and mark it with your fingers. It'll really work like a stylus, and being able to interact the device better with a stylus, much like the Nintendo DS. So we sort of like the stylus approach. For one, it looks a little bit more business-like. And for number two, it doesn't really mark the screen up with fingerprints, where if you've ever had, say, BlackBerry Storm, or if you've had the iPhone, the iPad, or other touchscreen interacting devices, you know how often you have to clean a device because the oil from your fingers gets all over the screen. So we do like the stylus tech aspect of it, and it respects that you're not going to gross up your screen. Now, it'll actually have a built-in dictionary, an MP3 player that allows you to listen to music or to listen to audiobooks, and it'll have Wi-Fi on traditional networks. It would basically say that it has 2 gigabytes of internal memory, and it looks like a great little e-reader. It's going to be displaying EPUB, PDF, and text formats, which for the most part, PDF and text are more open source, and EPUB is the new industry format of being able to display ebooks. So look at the new Samsung SNE60 ebook reader to come out in Europe next month, and to come out in the US later on. There's really no price point at this yet, but as always, we will report on this. Now, looking at the Slate PC world a little bit, WePad, the company backed by Neofony in Germany, Berlin, and they have said that they've changed the name on their upcoming Slate from the WePad to the WeTab. Now, the newness for a few reasons, mainly because Apple is pretty, you know, they protect their trademarks and their copyrights rather religiously, so it's probably wise that a competing Slate PC product won't want to have the word pad in it. It just avoids a lot of legal hiccups down the road, as well as the WeTab. Of course, tab is short for tablet, so we like this name a little bit better. We think that it gives the brand a little bit more clear and concise identity, rather than just seeming like this Slate PC is an iPad ripoff. So we like the fact that they changed their name, and the WePad is a really nice looking piece of technology. We've reported on this on the past. We have full specs and reviews of the device on our blog, so if you want to read more about the WePad, or the now renamed WeTab, check out our forum, as well as do a search for it, and you could read some past articles and full previews of the device that we've made. Now, we've also wrote some entries a few months ago on the Dell Streak, or the Dell Mini 5. Now, this has just been shown, and it's looking like a great device. Now, for those of you that have had an iPad, or have had, say, the Juju from Fusion Garage, or if you have a number of other Slate PCs, you know that they're probably not the most easy to carry around in portable devices. They certainly don't fit in your pocket. You do have to carry them around in, say, a messenger bag, or if you're a girl, in your purse or sort of carry-all type bag, backpack, that sort of thing. If you want to bring them to the coffee shop, if you're going to a friend's house, it's not the easiest thing to just tuck under your arm. For one, you might drop it, and there goes a very expensive thing. So the Dell Mini 5 is very small. It looks like to be just bigger than a cell phone. If you, say, have had the Google Nexus 1, or if you have had sort of really, like, bigger type of smartphones, you know that the resolution on them is good. They still fit in your pocket. It looks like the Dell Mini 5 will be such a device that will fit in your pocket. Now, they will be using the Snapdragon processor on this. Now, one of the big hyping factors on, say, the Google Nexus 1 smartphone was that it had a Snapdragon processor. It basically loaded up any type of apps, any sort of programs, even browsing the internet. it pretty well did it at double the speed than, say, the iPhone used. And this is just from my own experience. I've had both the iPhone and the Nexus One, and I did find that doing day-to-day functions just happened very fast. And the Snapdragon processor is a really great factor about this device. So, giving you guys a little bit of a preview, it's going to be 800 by 480 pixels. It'll be running the latest version of Android, which is about 2.1. It'll have a 5 megapixel built-in camera, along with an LED flash. It'll have a front-facing VGA camera. So it'll have basically two methods to be able to take pictures and shoot video, which would be facing the device at somebody, and then being able to do a little bit of web conferencing, a little bit of video, instant messaging, that sort of thing. Now, they're saying that this version will actually be running Android 2.2. So this is the rumor that it'll be using this. Now, it'll use Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and will have 3G enabled. No word on partnerships or what they're doing like that yet, as far as who are they partnering with. Although we've had heard reports that Dell for its 3G will be using AT&T for its US operations. Although in Europe, it looks like they'll be going with O2 and Telefónica providing the telecom support. So we have heard rumors that those are the companies that they're going to be going with. No word on what type of data plan you'll need, if you'll need a special one, but we have reason to believe that the same data plan that you would say have for your BlackBerry plan or existing smartphone would probably transition well to this device. So again, if you have Wi-Fi on this device, it is 3G enabled. You'll be able to further increase the memory by micro SD storage. It has about 1.63 gigabytes of internal storage. And it looks like to be a really, really great device. It only weighs 8 ounces. It has a thickness of 0.39 inches. So this might be a really great replacement, not just for your phone, but you could do so much with this device. Now, it is not a phone, so we want to make things clear that the Dell Mini 5 won't be a substitute for your cell phone. But having this device in your pocket allows you a lot more flexibility and freedom to be able to interact with something with higher power than most phones. And so if you're interested in reading about this further, we do have more product reviews on our blog about the Dell Mini 5. So be sure to check it out. We have some exclusive pictures on it on our forum and on our blog, so they do look pretty sick. Now, what we're going to do is play a little bit of song, and we'll give you some product news coming out of Research in Motion.
Revolution of the heart is all I'm
Alright, so that was a little bit of Jazzanova, and the first song that we played this evening was off of the new Mushroom Jazz 6 by Mark Farina. Now, we did say we had some news coming out of Research in Motion, and it looks like that they will be bringing to the market the new BlackBerry tablet, or the BlackPad. It looks like December for the Christmas season is when they're going to slate it for release, no pun intended, and it's going to have about an 8.9-inch touchscreen, and it will differ from the iPad and the Google Slate in so that it will have the Research in Motion trademark, the business internet service. They'll have the BlackBerry way of syncing with Exchange. So if you're like myself, or if you're like a lot of people that have BlackBerry smartphones, BlackBerry accounts for roughly 35% of the overall U.S. smartphone market. They're very prevalent in Canada as well. So Research in Motion leads the business class as far as computing, mainly because it does Exchange integration so well. It handles emails so well. If you have email that is on POP3 or IMAP, and you don't use free email services like Gmail or Yahoo as your primary email service. So if you're in a business and you're using Exchange, or if you own a business, or if you're part of one, or just if you have your own domains, you know that sometimes syncing email addresses with, say, the iPhone or the iPad or a lot of other products, they don't really have really great POP3 integration, so a lot of people are finding themselves getting duplicate emails or not receiving every email. Whereas if you have a BlackBerry and if you're on Research in Motion, you know how great the email service is. So of the slate coming from Research in Motion looks to be like really great. It doesn't really have a lot of specs or anything like that right now, but it looks like the BlackBerry is partnering with Marvell Technology Group, and Marvell will take care of the silicone needed for the hardware screen manufacturing, as well as for some of the internal components. That will also be partnering with Quanta. So both Marvell Technology and Quanta will be BlackBerry's partners with making a lot of like this internal technology. Rumor has it as well as the BlackPad will be running Research in Motion's new OS 6.0. Now, BlackBerry has said that OS 6.0 is basically the OS that they're going to be using for a lot of their touchscreen technologies. So you'll be able to get them if you have a Storm 1, 2, or the upcoming Storm 3, as well as a lot of the enhancements on this operating system was developed with the BlackPad in mind. Now, we have no really firm stats on what, you know, how much memory it'll have, what'll be the hard drive space, or anything like that. But you will do know that BlackBerry will be using a lot of its own operating systems, all of its existing apps, a lot of the functionality that you'll be able to do. So if you are a fanatic, or if you love BlackBerry products or anything that Research in Motion does, it's really great that they're working on a slate and tablet PCs, because this year is the year of the slate and tablet, as well as the rise of the e-reader. So this year is really focused on getting handheld technology like slates and e-readers into the hands of the public. Up until about mid-2009, e-readers were pretty well a fringe type of gadget. No one really outside of people that are versed in technology even knew what they were. Or if you had walked into a Sony store when they had an e-reader, you could kind of check it out. But e-readers didn't really catch on until about 2009. And it was only until the end of 2009 with Amazon's crazy sales for the holidays that really made a lot of companies further their research and development, rush these things to market. Now we see a ton of e-readers on the market already, like the Alex, like the Nook, and various other products that, say, Barnes & Noble's releasing in the future. They're going to be doing the Nook 2 and the Nook Lite for the Christmas season, as well as offerings from Samsung, Acer, Fujitsu, Asus. A lot of companies that have never done an e-reader before are working on them. So it's great to see that e-readers are getting into the public consciousness a bit more. More people are becoming aware of them. There's more commercials on them now than ever before. There's a lot of online media covering the rise in this technology, as well as the success of the iPad has really spurred on a lot of competition. Now, a lot of the people that were working on slate and tablet PCs were doing so before the iPad was even announced. So a lot of these companies don't look at them as seeing that iPad or Apple did something and now they got to rush in and copy it. A lot of these companies were working on tablet and slate PCs very quietly and not really announcing them, but it wasn't until the Consumer Electronics Show in January of this year and upcoming Computex of this year that a lot of these things were officially announced. So a lot of really great technology is being debuted, and again, we're really excited about the possibility of the Black Pad offering by Research in Motion. Also, for a little bit of non-e-reader and slate PC news, we mentioned in the program a few times about the Google Nexus 1 and how it runs the Snapdragon processor, and the Nexus 1 was pretty well below a lot of people's expectations with the product. Google really tried hard with the Nexus 1 launch in its own store to kind of change the way that cell phones were and smartphones were sold. So Google was directly selling this device, handling the support, and handling everything else. They first partnered with Verizon for the Nexus 1, and then they partnered with AT&T in order to get more networks being able to support the 3G. So with the AT&T partnership, allowed Canada to get 3G on Rogers, TELUS, Bell, and providers like that. Now, Google has closed its online store selling the Nexus 1, citing that they wanted to have this phone sold in more of a retail location. The sales weren't that great. We don't have exact numbers, but 45,000 devices were basically sold through the app, through the Google store, selling the Nexus 1. So the Nexus 1 was a great phone. I was lucky enough to get my hands on it for about a week and play around with it and really liked everything about the device. But I found that the customer service, the support was abysmal. Google really made it hard for people to call in, if not impossible. The only way that you could get support is by opening up tickets or by looking at the Google forums, in which case a lot of people were having the same problems, and Google wasn't addressing these problems. So having Google sell the phone, but you know, you actually get your service from different carriers like Verizon, Rogers, AT&T, that Google found that this way of handling just the customer service aspect of it and the sales aspect of it, but it didn't really happen to the ongoing billing of it. Like, you were just buying your device through Google unless you bought the Verizon version of it, which Verizon subsidized from the $500 entry-level price to about $199. So it is almost good news that Google won't be selling this device straight up on its website, because if Verizon and AT&T and other companies like that sell it in a retail setting, it'll probably be better deals for the consumer, that you won't have to buy the device straight up, because you can buy the device and attach your existing plan to it, or if you don't have a plan with them, to simply get a new one. Now, sales in the Nexus 1, we kind of touched on this. We basically said that total in 74 days or so, 135,000 Nexus 1s were sold. And if you look at iPhones that were sold, about 1 million. Now, iPhone, to its respect, revolutionized the public's awareness of smartphones. Although there was a lot of smartphone companies before the iPhone launch that basically did these sort of things, like Research in Motion and other companies like that. So it's almost saying that this is kind of a Google experiment that didn't really work. So we hope that they have better luck with the Google editions, the way that they're going to be handling selling books online. Whereas if you look at the way that they were running this store, they didn't really do the customer service bit that well. They handled everything else well. So with Google editions, they're allowing the publisher to handle all that. Google is just the proxy. They're the people charging you for it, actually delivering the book to you, and the publisher handles everything else. So maybe this strategy will work better with Google selling things, but everything remains to be seen. So that about does it for this edition of the Goody Reader Radio Show. This is Marcus, and everybody take care.